Hey, what's up, guys? This is Daryl PJ Black, and I'm very excited to be coming to Vegas to the Boulder Station Casino with the Vegas Bad Boys for a live podcast recording. And that's happening Tuesday, September 24th. Catch me at Sam's Town Live with Ring of Honor September 27th and 28th. See you guys there.
Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. This is a special edition with our guest, Joe Graves.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. I got some of the bad boys here with me, like Simon Street. How you doing?
What up, everybody?
And Sin City Steve.
Hey, how we doing, y'all?
And Matt Michaels.
Yeah, I'm feeling kind of ready to go into the grave.
I hope not.
You by yourself on that, man. I want to live.
But what he's alluding to here is our guest on the line. Now, he's a pro wrestler, personal trainer, skilled in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and from Future Stars of Wrestling, one of the three members of Project Body Count, Joe Graves. How you doing, Joe?
God, I fucking hate wrestling. And for that matter, fucking Facebook too. I hate Facebook and wrestling. I think Facebook's the reason I hate wrestling, but I hate both. Not equally, but I just fucking hate both of them.
Well, let me start with that, because, you know, I tried to be your friend on Facebook, and I reached something I've never freaking heard of ever. I'm sorry.
5,000 friends.
Yeah, 5,000 friends. You can't accept no more damn friends. I've never seen that in the history of fucking Facebook, man. That's amazing.
Right.
I had to switch to Instagram. Shit.
Yogi Berra had a saying, right? There's like a club that they all wanted to go to. So Yogi Berra's like, nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
Mm-hmm.
So my goal was always, I wanted so many Facebook friends, I didn't have to accept any more Facebook friends.
That's smart.
Mission that fucking accomplished.
That's smart.
It doesn't make sense, but it made sense to me.
Hell yeah.
Well, you know what?
I couldn't accept you. I have too many friends. I didn't want to be your friend. I just can't do it.
I love it.
Well, you know, growing up in New York, what was it like for you? Was it, you know, kind of that typical New York upbringing where you're all, you know, everyone's busting balls and just having a good time? You know, what was it like in the Graves household back with little Joe Graves?
It's pretty much the same now. Yelling angry people. Everybody screaming at each other. Me just sitting there quietly. Everybody around me yells. Like when we have like the big family dinner, like at my grandma's house, you have like 50 people just all screaming over each other. Trying to have a conversation, a single conversation. And 50 crazy Italian people yelling all at the same time.
What's the go-to food at the Graves family reunions?
Well, when my grandmother was alive, we did it was like every holiday is an Italian holiday. So Christmas is lasagna, Thanksgiving was manicotti.
Ooh, and, nice.
Yeah. And then I didn't even know turkey and ham were things that were served. It was just like, after we ate, like, whatever Italian dish it was, like 3 hours later, there'd be like a turkey out. And nobody even ate.
Wow.
So turkey was like the in between after the main meal, but before the dessert, there was the turkey.
Pretty much, yeah. It came out like 10 minutes before the desserts were all out, so I didn't even know that was like a thing. I thought like somebody just specifically asked for it all the time. I had no idea.
So in grade school, instead of doing one of those hand tracings where you'd trace your hand to make a turkey for Thanksgiving, did you, like, say, like...
No, because the turkeys are alive. The turkeys you do on the hands are alive turkeys, not cooked turkeys. So who knew? Like, I never knew there was something called an Easter ham. We didn't have hams. We had a giant. We had 400 pounds of lasagna.
And when your grandma was alive, now I've had so many friends who, you know, have grown up in the same, you know, grown up in Chicago. It's, you know, same thing. You know, the traditions were exactly the same as you're talking about. What was your grandma's go-to cuss word in Italian?
Fungul, I think, was the easiest one, was fungul.
Yeah.
Like, none of the kids knew what that meant.
Fungul?
Yeah.
Remember, it's not the word you're using, it's the intent.
Yeah, exactly. So, did you, when you were growing up, did you follow wrestling? Was wrestling even on your radar? Or at that time, were you more into, yeah? What, were you WWF guy or a WCW guy?
Well, when I was young, it was WWF, because New York is more of a Fed region.
Right.
Or WCW is more in the South. Like, one of my good friends from Florida, he never watched WWF. He always watched WCW and all that. And it's just a regional thing. So we went to all the WWF things because they were always in New York. Like, going to the county center and stuff like that, or going to Madison Square Garden. And we went to WrestleMania 11. You know, the greatest WrestleMania of all time at the Hartford Civic Center. And, like, you watch now, like, a lot of people don't have the experience. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, WrestleMania was in, like arenas for a while. Now it's in giant football stadiums. No. WrestleMania was held at the Hartford Civic Center.
Yep.
Which, Hartford is a shitty little city in a dumb state. And they had a WrestleMania there. And now they sell out MetLife Stadium.
Yep.
Like, that's humongous.
Well, but in all fair defense, I don't know if you ran Bam Bam Bigelow versus LT at the MetLife.
I do remember it. The shoulder block from the second rope.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Bam Bam Bigelow is a 320-pound man that could do a fucking backflip.
Yep. Yep.
But he took a shoulder block from the second rope, and that was it.
Yep.
What I mean, what was it like? Because, you know, what's really interesting, I 2 years later, I'm at WrestleMania 13 in Chicago, and we get, you know, Austin and Hart, and, you know, wrestling history is made forever, and that building was on fucking fire. What was it like in Hartford at WrestleMania 11? Were the fans into it, or was it just kind of like, yeah, this is cool, it's WrestleMania, whatever?
It was more like that. It was more of like, because there was just so much. Was it like Salt and Pepper was there?
Yeah, that was part of LT's crew.
There's just all kinds of stuff. It just seemed like a normal show. Like, it wasn't anything super special. Like, I had more fun at the Westchester County Center shows.
Yeah.
that was like a local one where you could just go up the street kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Down in White Plains, New York. And that was like more exciting.
So who was your... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, who was your favorite wrestler at that time?
Probably Bret Hart and The Undertaker.
Nice.
Those were probably my two favorite when I was growing up.
Did you ever get to see The Undertaker in that period? I mean, obviously he was on WrestleMania that year, but I think that was the year he wrestled Bundy. So that was kind of like a, you know, a throwaway.
Oh, yeah, I saw. I got to see them all. I got to see when the lights come out and stuff like that. Towards like the end of like the old school Undertaker, before it became like, as he was like transitioning more to a good guy and everything like that, and becoming like one of the most popular guys on the roster. Like after the let's shove him down your throat period, it was now he's just the coolest guy on the roster period. You know, but I got to see everybody. The first show I ever went to see, the main event, was the Legion of Doom and the Ultimate Warrior against Papa Shango and the Nasty Boys. That was the main event of, like, the County Center show. Like, that was awesome. I got to see, you know, see Doink and Rick Martel and Tatanka. And remember Ludwig Borga?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to see Bundy and Aldo Montoya. Everybody came to, was at those shows. They had to, because those were like practice shows in a main region that they needed to work. So I had to see everybody.
And if you had to pick one moment, what would it be in terms of that's when I knew I wanted to be a wrestler?
It was probably, I don't know. I can't think of one moment where I was like, this is it. This is the thing I want to do. Because I just was so enthralled with it when I was a kid. I was like the only kid that I knew that liked wrestling that much.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just like, once I went to that first show, and it was just the most awesome thing in the world. And even when I was young, I didn't care if it was fake or not. That didn't bother me. It was my favorite TV show. And I remember being in elementary school telling people, like, what's your favorite show? Yeah, it's fake. I don't care. It's just my favorite. It's the most entertaining thing for me to watch.
And
so there wasn't like a specific moment. There was just, that's kind of what we went out and did. But when I guess maybe when ECW actually had a show at the County Center, it was on my birthday, actually.
Nice.
And, you know, it was like the heyday, really. 99, I think it was. Oh, and, yeah. You know, Dope, the band Dope was outside, like, handing out CDs. they did that, Rhino's original ECW entrance song.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so they're outside. That's how long ago it was. That's how old I am. Where, like, all these guys and all this shit, like, these are, like, normal guys that can just do this. It's like, I could probably do this. If you see people, like, Undertaker is gigantic. You see these guys, and they're just, like, monsters. Mm-hmm. But, like, you saw ECW, like, these are guys that live down the street. Tommy Dreamer, actually, he got married in the same place my cousin got married at the same time. So his wedding party was going on at the same time. And, like, wow. Nova and a couple of the other guys were there, and I'm like, these guys are, like, midgets. I was like, this is something. This is something that's attainable. And then my dad even talked about it, because he's a cab driver, so he knew, like, all kinds of people. And Freddie Blassie's from his hometown.
Wow.
And he was like, I'll send you to wrestling school. I was like, who goes to wrestling school? I'm going to go to college. Should have went to wrestling school.
So, Joe, you know, my question to you is, you know, kind of getting a chance to kind of see your in-ring work. Is there anybody that you intentionally pattern yourself after, or is this something that's just a hybrid of many different people that you have admired growing up?
It's conceptually, I think of it as a lot of people I've seen growing up. But like when I talk to guys that are new, I tell them, once you know how to wrestle, you got to stop watching wrestling. Because all you're going to do is just copy the other guys
right. That
are similar to you that you like. So for me, it was, yeah, you got to watch wrestling to learn timing and tempo. Because I went a long time without watching wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just kind of grew out of it for a while.
Yep.
But once I got back into it, like, I threw myself into all kinds of things to see how timing works and tempo and how to put matches together. And how to deviate from a normal match structure. And because you want to keep everybody kind of, you know what's going to happen. But I want people to at least be unsure of, you know, the tempo and the pacing of the match. Because, mm-hmm. let's face facts, I'm not going to do any backflip on purpose.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to break new bounds with moves and spots. But what I want you to do is be like, you know what, that was an interesting way he thought that out and created that match. You know, it's more thoughtful than it was just, here, watch me slap my leg 500 times.
Right.
And then bow to the crowd. Right? So for me, it was watch as many guys as possible, do different kinds of matches, and then from there, stop watching completely.
Yeah.
Because all you're going to do is copy somebody else's stuff. It's just nature. You can't not do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even artists, once they start finding an artist that they like and they start doing it, you notice that their music or their, you know, style starts to drift and become more like that other style.
Exactly.
And I don't want to have a style. I want to look like a guy that's going to fuck you up. And if you mess up, you're going to get fucked up.
Well, you've presented that very well from what I've seen.
Like one of my best moments in wrestling was I was in a match and I heard a fan, it was an FSW show at the Silverton, and a fan yelled, "Doesn't he know this is fake?"
No,
I don't fucking know it's fake. You know?
You'd be like, get your ass in the ring and I'll show you.
Well, you know what?
It's not fake in the way that they say it is. It's thought out. It's planned out. It might be choreographed. We might have talked it out. Mm-hmm. But it's not fake. You hit the ground, you hit the ground.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know, you backflip out of the ring and nobody catches you, you're fucking hitting the ground. Even if somebody catches you, you know, I've gotten a stinger every time I've had to catch a top. Where my whole right arm goes numb.
Damn.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I got elbowed in the face by Remy at the ladder match. Mm-hmm. Right, where I was trying to German suplex everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me the elbow, and my whole arm went dead.
Oh, shit.
Jeez. Right before he gave me the whirly bird, the whole arm went dead.
Wow.
You know, that's not fake. That fucking hurt.
Yeah.
You know? You're going to get hurt. It's not fake. We're trained to protect each other, but it's not fake.
But you have to look at, for the perspective of your character, hearing that from an audience member actually means you did your job personally, because you came in there and that person was questioning if you knew it was fake, which is amazing because you're so intense, and that's fucking brilliant.
And my opponents also question if it's fake. And then I like to answer their questions with a depends on your attitude. Because I won't do anything that I'm not okay with. Like I do that chop spot out of the corner where I get fired up from getting chopped. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm going to light you up. So I give you the opportunity to chop me as many times as you possibly can. Because I'm going to get you back.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, so I won't back chop you unless I let you chop me. You know, if you kick me in the face for real, something bad is going to happen to you. But it's okay. I'm not mad.
Just giving a
receipt.
You're
going to business for yourself. I don't know. Were you guys at the last FSW show at the arena?
Yeah. And in fact, afterwards, really quick, afterwards, I looked at Bay and I said, "Chris, you all right? Everything good?" Said, like, "Yeah, but I almost had a story for you guys, because when I took that suplex, so when you sent him flying, he's like, I landed so hard, I almost had a literal oh shit moment."
It's a dangerous game, man, and I'm in real life a dangerous person. I know I seem very friendly and likable, and I look like a cuddly bear when I come out to the ring and everything like that. You know, but like all week, I practice murder with my friends. Right? Because I train jiu-jitsu. And you know what jiu-jitsu is? You're practicing choking.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how can I fuck all these people up in a very pleasant way? You know? And then when you don't do anything and you only have like two maneuvers and all you do is slap your leg and then yell something that 85 other people in your family have yelled over the years, I'm sorry. You're not going to be the one that pulls my card. Oh, I'm sorry. You guys don't know what I'm talking about? That's okay. Check Facebook. You'll find out. Because being a tough guy on Facebook is why I love wrestling.
Well, we would check.
Don't go into business. Don't go into business for yourself. I'm going to put you out of business.
And we would check Facebook, but we can't because you're at 5,000 friends.
Exactly.
Oh, it's not not my Facebook.
Oh, it's
I'm not the one that
Facebook.
Posts on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
About hurt feelings. I don't.
Ah, well, yeah. No kidding.
No.
Could you give us a clue?
So, you know, wrestling's a quote unquote work, which I love when guys post that on Facebook because, you know, it's just bury everything we do. But don't tell me that it's a work when you go into business for yourself and I put you down. And then you go on fit, you apologize, and you're like, it's okay. You can let me go now. And then on Facebook, you're a tough guy again. Mm. I don't know how much more details I'm going to go into. I don't think you have much of a career to really give a shit about. And that's really what makes me the most dangerous thing, is that I just don't care. like, don't book me anymore. I don't, it's okay. I'll spend more time with my hot girlfriend. But if any of you guys just kind of, if you have a chance to go on Facebook right now and just scroll at one of my most recent opponents, Facebook.
Well, it won't be me because I wasn't able to be part of the club.
Well then.
Yeah, you got all this feelings hurt.
So then while they're looking that up, let me ask you this question, okay? So obviously we know we live in a world where there's a lot of people with hurt feelings. I mean, like, truly there's a nation of butt hurt people. Yeah. So, you know, what is I'm going to find a good way to put this. Okay, the way you deal with butthurt people in your personal life, does any of that translate to how you would handle that in the rink?
No, not at all.
Okay. So it's two totally different ways that you handle them. Would you be willing to share how you handle butthurt people in real life?
All right. So inside baseball is I am a new hire trainer at a call center.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, I have to teach de-escalation. Like, when somebody calls in and they're mad, like, how do you talk to them? And I was really good at that on the phone, believe it or not. Because nobody can see what I look like on the phone.
Yep.
So, I'm just a pleasant-sounding guy that's going to take care of your problem. So, you know, you have to teach them how to deal with that. And then they're new hires. They have, you know, all kinds of things going on in their lives that they have to sort out, you know, to be able to have the job. So you have all kinds of people with problems, and you have to understand, like, people are coming from whatever background they're coming from. They have whatever history they have. They have whatever personal struggle or drama or achievements that they've ever had. Right? Mm-hmm. So you got to find how to communicate with people on their level, things that they understand or are interested in, and then try to communicate the points to them and let them know what's important, what's expected, and what we're going to do to help them and create an environment for them that they can be successful. In wrestling, the environment is not created for people to be successful. Yes, you could be successful in front of 30 people, but the goal is not to be successful in front of 30 people. It's to be successful in front of 30,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We think guys in WWE have an easy life. You think that that's easy for them?
Mm-mm.
You think having like a little kid, like a five-year-old, can call you all kinds of horrible names and curse at you and you need a finger every night is easy to deal with? You know, do you think being on the road that many days doesn't stress you out? And then you have to deal with people being assholes in the crowd. Then you have to deal with your coworkers being assholes. You know, because everybody's dealing with the same shit. They're all dealing with it differently. You have to interact with each other, you know? But if we isolate everybody and bubble wrap them and everything they do is wonderful and nothing's ever bad, you know, when they get that talk with management that they're no longer needed, once it matters, you know, they're going to cry. You're going to go on Facebook and cry, tell people, like, how it hurt your feelings to get fired because nobody liked you. And please like me because, like, I'm going to get fired if you don't like me and you have to like me. Yeah, that's not how the world is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how wrestling is beyond your local federation or going through indies in California, where everybody that can slap their leg at the right decibel level is a huge fan favorite. You know, so it's not real in that sense. And the difference is, right, my job to help people at work is to make them successful in dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
My job is dealing with wrestling, because at the stage I'm at, I'm really just there because I know a lot and I want to, you know, share with the people that are coming up. My job in wrestling is also to get you ready for the job. You know? So, what are you going to do? We have hurt feelings. You guys remember, I can't think of his name. He was the FSW Heavyweight Champion forever. Gigantic guy.
Cross? Yeah.
No,
Cross.
Before that.
Oh, before Cross.
I can't think of his name. I'm totally blanking out, guys. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
Oh, my God. He's gigantic. He's a 400-pound black guy. I can't think of his name. Oh, you guys don't even know either. You guys don't even watch.
No,
we're you guys are watching wrestling for a year.
No.
No, but you got, like, wrestling, you have a gigantic, like, you guys are, like, 6'5", 350 pounds. They go to some small redneck town to wrestle, and they're getting called the N-word. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you going to do?
It happens a lot.
You're gonna cry? Yeah. You're gonna pee your pants? You deal with it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what life is, dealing with some shit that you're not supposed to have to deal with, but you have to anyway.
So kind of going with that, because I really like that you pointed that out. Not only is that a good lesson and insight for people to understand and listen to this show, but just in general, what would you say is if someone that's listening wants to get into this business, you know, if you can give them some advice, what would you say to them?
Don't. Find something else to do with your time.
All right.
I love it.
Honestly, if you're going to get into it, one, you got to be in shape. Mm-hmm. You got to do something athletic or physical coming into it. You can't just show up and be like, I'm a theater kid, because a lot is physically expected of you.
Yep.
You know? And if you're not fit, or at least, you know, the size of a grown man, you're going to get hurt a lot. You know, because when you look like you're 140 pounds, you know, odds are you're going to get beat up all the time. You're going to take all these bumps, and you have to do all these flips, and you have to do this corkscrewing backflip thing until he catches my leg and then flip back the other way. I roll under his legs, and then I hit a drop kick. He doesn't sell the drop kick, and then he hits me with this big clothesline. You know, all that shit's going to hurt you,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're really light. It's fragile. And then you get to the point where you have to do that every show. And what happens if your knee hurts? Right? And all you have is this one spot. You know, you have to be big and strong enough to take the toll that it's going to cost you. Especially in training. In training, you're basically wrestling 4 or 5 days a week. Like, how are you going to deal with that? How are you going to get through that healthy? You know, never mind just hitting your head on the ground every other day. But yeah. Your body's just going to get tore up. So the first thing you got to do is just get in the gym, lift weights, be smart about it, get moving, pick something else to do as well. If it's basketball, you know, pick up basketball and stuff like that to be in shape. If it's going to be something like jiu-jitsu where there's grappling, do that. Don't just go into wrestling and be like, I'm going to be a star because I'm going to dye my hair and I have like this black t-shirt and I'm going to look really sad in the ring. And then once somebody hits you, oh my God, my shoulder hurts. I'm out for 6 months. Oh my God, I have this back injury because like I got body slammed kind of like awkwardly, and now like my hip hurts. I just can't do this anymore. But like I love it. I have such a passion. All the passion, all the hard work I put in, showing up and taking notes and watching it on TV. It's all gone. No, that's not the work,
mm-hmm.
right? Because when you go to WWE, you show up and you realize like everybody's 6'4".
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, okay, I fucked up. that happened to me and my friend. We showed up, and I knew everybody was big, mm-hmm. but he was not to that knowledge. And we showed up, and he was like Howard Stone, but like half the size, like inch-shaped, his long hair, and then. Like, you just get there and you realize that they're giants. Everybody's a giant.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it kind of killed his passion for it. Me, I'm used to it. I'm 5'11", and I played defensive tackle.
Yeah.
So every offensive line that walked up, I looked straight up at. Never bothered me. So that wasn't my issue, you know? But you're going to show up, and you're going to realize, like, oh, that guy that did that backflip is big. Like, you guys going to have Too Cold Scorpio on, I saw?
We gotta get Scorpio on, yeah.
You realize like how big he is?
Yeah.
Like, he's a pretty big man to do those splits.
Yeah.
Like that fucking 450. Like he was a big dude doing that.
You
seen how big D'Lo Brown is?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like did you how high he used to jump for that flash blast? Imagine that big motherfucker landing on you.
Especially with that chest protector on him too.
Exactly.
It's like shit, yeah.
That Roman Reigns
like
uses
the first
now.
Time I ever met Val Venus, like he was like a mid card guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like 6'3", 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
Billy Gunn, I had to wrestle Billy Gunn. He's like 6'5", 6'6". Like, you don't think like they're all so big because they're all big. You can't tell.
Right. Yep.
But now what's a guy that's 145 pounds going to do with that?
Very true.
Right? Life's going to be real hard for him. Look at Rey Mysterio. He's always hurt. There's a reason.
Yeah.
Right? Who's better than Rey Mysterio? Really? Always hurt.
So
at some point, they're just too small.
So that actually is the next question I was going to ask you, with kind of looking at the landscape on, you know, what's being presented. What I see sometimes is you're getting a lot of smaller guys, you know, or more prominently, I'm seeing smaller guys. Do you think that that's something that in the long run can significantly hurt, the industry in the long term? Seeing that a lot of major promotions are trying to push for the small guys. I mean, we obviously know Vince McMahon loves bigger guys. I mean, it's just, he's said it in interviews and it's just well known. Do you think that, you know, showcasing smaller guys is going to hurt in the long run? Or do big guys need to start, you know, presenting themselves more often?
I think that the thing with the small guys is, with wrestling in general, wrestling is entertainment. Mm-hmm. When you watch a movie starring Sylvester Stallone, you don't realize how short Sylvester Stallone is because they hide it.
Right.
Because nobody thinks that a guy that they're bigger than can kick everybody's ass.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing with, like, this is man taking on giants, because you want to see a guy in real life and be like, holy shit, that is a gigantic man. Like Braun Strowman. You look at him, he's a fucking monster.
Yes. I almost ran into him. It scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, and all your bones would have broke.
Yeah, damn right.
Right. Because when you see one of these guys in real life, like you have to have that, like, oh, that's horrifying. If that guy put his hands on me, like, he'll kill me. It's the same thing in other sports too. Boxing, when their boxing was at its best, when they had heavyweights that were very skilled, and smaller guys that were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A good combination. Right. Now, once the heavyweight division died, pro boxing died too.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
That's so
because
true.
You want to see big guys fuck each other up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
When you see two little guys throw 8,000 punches around at each other and nobody's hurt, you'd be like, I could take one of those guys. Right?
That's a good point.
That's why when Brock Lesnar shows up to UFC, people pay. Even though it's not going to be like an awesome fight, people will pay all kinds of money. The only way little guys get over is if they are crazy. Right? But there's got to be a combination of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now it's all little guys. And that's great. They do flippy stuff. They slap their legs. It's like watching the one hand clap the whole fucking match. But when you see two monsters bash each other's fucking brains in, that's what people want to see. That's what people will always want to see. So to say, like, oh, it's, you know, there's got to be a role for everybody, there is, and there should be.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's got to be that stretch, because movies are movies. Once you leave the movie theater, you don't think any of that stuff really happened.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling, you're right there next to these people. You can see it, right? When every fan in the building stands up and Chris Bay has to look up to even the women, and he's looking straight up at them, right? Where's that suspense, that suspenseful disbelief?
Mm-hmm.
Right? When me and Alex wrestle and we're just trying to hurt each other, right? Or you see Gallo try to do something to somebody, or back when Alcatraz was there, he's a big fucking scary looking dude.
Yeah.
Like, you guys probably don't even know who Alcatraz is. You guys have only started watching wrestling like a year ago.
No, Alcatraz was the FSW heavyweight champion, and he actually was the guy who was the in-between for Tyshawn Prince, who was the guy
Tyshawn
we couldn't
Prince,
think
that's
of.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Somebody called Tyshawn Prince the N-word.
Wow.
Jeez.
And Tyshawn fuck. Prince... I could not kill that old man. It was like some old guy in some big town.
Wow.
Imagine somebody saying that to Tyshawn Prince.
Wow.
imagine what they would say to literally anybody else. If they're willing to say stuff like that to that monster of a gigantic human being, dude, I gave that dude a hug, and I only came up to, like, his belly button. Yeah. Like, I'm 250 pounds. If he stood in front of me, you wouldn't know I was behind him.
Right.
And people gave no fucks, and they said horrible things to him. Like, imagine what you're going to have to deal with in life.
So, kind of going with what we're talking about, you know, first of all, I can confirm, I'm 6'3", almost 6'4", no joke, and running into Braun Strowman in Orlando and almost getting, yeah, basically I moved the fuck out the way. So I can confirm exactly what you're saying. Yeah, because I was just like, oh, I'm sorry, let me move the fuck out the way. And I'm not a short dude, you know, and yeah, no. Even still, I was like, shit. What is a guy that you've either been in a ring with or you identify as, and I'm just going to put it out there, a big motherfucker? That's not Braun Strowman.
The big
one?
Tyson, he's just such a big man.
He is.
Lance Hoyt.
Yeah. Okay.
Time I had to wrestle Lance Hoyt, right? Now, he's not like a heavy guy, but he's so long.
Yeah,
and it's deceptive, like, how big of a guy he is because he has such long limbs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
But, like, the first time we wrestled, he, like, told me to pie face him. And I looked at him and I laughed. I was like, how? How much did you do that? Like, and if you see it, like, I take, like, a little hop. Mm-hmm. Like, a little hop. Like, a little kid shooting a jump shot. Like, a five-year-old shooting a jump shot. And like, I do, like, a little hop and, like, I kind of paw his face. I was like, that was the dumbest thing. Who thought? Oh yeah, he thought this up. I'm not gonna say that. That was just a pie face, you big bastard. Well, he was just so tall. Then you're like, Billy Gunn is just bigger than you would ever imagine.
Yeah.
Because when you see him, you're like, oh, he's like, you know, you don't realize he's just a big, big dude.
I met him in person, and in his shirt, yeah, like whatever he was wearing, I was under the impression it was a small, slim fit shirt. No, it was a freaking, it was like I think it was an XXL shirt or something like that. And this is back probably like 10, 15 years. Guy. I was like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even now, he's like an older guy and he's jacked.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of, you know, playing football, because I, you know, I was the same way. I'm 5'8", and I, you know, played nose tackle and center because mm-hmm. it's just the grit. It's the pure, you know, determination and how tough you are at that point. And you're always trying to scrap against these guys who are, you know, 6'3", 6'4", and, you know, 400 pounds. And it's like, oh, shit. And then when I trained in wrestling, I was in the class with, like, John Heidenreich and Nathan Jones. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys were monsters, and they were on Vince's radar. Cena was there because these guys were huge. But yet, a guy like Samoa Joe was my trainer. He wasn't on the radar because of the fact that he wasn't the look.
Yeah.
With you, you've...
And you know what? It's a thing, like, you have to really persevere that way.
Right.
Because Samoa Joe was never going to have the look, no matter what he did. He could have ran all the gas that Exxon provides, and he never would have had the look.
Exactly. But with you, I mean, you've got the great physique, even though you are a little bit shorter. I mean, if you were 6'4", you'd probably right now, you know, be flying on private jets, and, you know, people would be handing you...
You know, we wouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah, exactly. But you're able to do things because you wrestled like Jeff Cobb. Now, you talk about a great fucking matchup of intensity. I mean, that's what I like. I like seeing guys like you two in the ring together because it's a great mix of style. What is it that you like to bring to a match like that? Is it just the all out that you guys can just literally beat the shit out of each other and at the end of the day just walk away and go, damn, we did a great job? Or is it, you know, just being able to try, you know, to push your own limitations to see how tough you really can be in the ring?
It's more because you guys talk to Jeff Cobb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're right, he's like the nicest guy who's ever lived.
Yeah, no kidding. Nice
guy. Yeah. Still wouldn't want to fuck with him.
Also, like, he's the kind of guy that you also want to impress.
Yeah.
Like, some
yeah.
opponents, you want to stand there with him, and everything he takes, you know, everything you take, you guys still stand there and just say, hey, that was good. You know, like, I wrestled Thatcher, like, 13 times.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, he's one of my favorite people in all of wrestling. And we go out there, and we are perfectly fine fucking each other up. And that's just, it's a respect thing as well. Like, to know that I wrestle guys like that, and, like, JL Kratos, and Gallo, and we've literally tried to kill each other. And at the end of it, it's like, you have, like, more respect for each other.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not a big name like a lot of those guys are, you know, but I like to think that I'm, like, the guy in the back that they actually have respect for. Like, I'm going to be the guy that nobody remembers, but the guys in the back will remember.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, because I've earned that respect from them, because, you know, I know their journey, and we were able to stand there, beat the shit out of each other, and at the end, still be friends in the back, and like really push each other. And I hope that I've like had like some sort of influence on them, because they've all had one on me. You know, just know that you can push these boundaries, and people still appreciate what you do. Because I'll try to do a lot more jiu-jitsu stuff with them, because Jeff's a wrestler.
Right.
Thatcher has that kind of old catch style, and Matt. And Thatcher has that little catch style.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. And I try to do my rolling jiu-jitsu stuff with them. And we could just go out there and basically just try whatever, see what's going to work and see what's going to stick and what fans will like and what we can, you know, really put in our arsenal, because it will translate to people. So wrestling guys like that, it's more you get to, you know, learn about yourself and what you can do with people that are at the top. Like, when I wrestled Thatcher a lot, he was like the Evolve champion.
Yeah.
Like, and I went like right there, move for move with him. So it's like, you show what you're capable of and that you can stand there with anybody. And then you watch other guys trying to have matches with them, the same kind of matches, like those more shoot fighting matches.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't do it the way that he could do it with them. They're like, you know what? I could be happy with that.
Do you think?
You know, I could sit in the back next to Kim Thatcher for 3 hours, and we could just look at each other while we're watching matches. And, you know, you have that bond with somebody that is like the premier technical wrestler of the last 10 years, maybe. You know, and, you know, it makes you feel a little good, like maybe you didn't waste your time.
From your training, what was the most important thing that you think you got out of, you know, learning, and what is the most important thing you hope to pass on to someone?
Well, it would be make sure everything you do is to be done to tell the story of what the match is.
Yeah.
Don't deviate from who your character is. I try to tell this story. Be your character when you're wrestling, too. Don't just do a promo. Don't do your entrance and then wrestle like everybody else.
Yeah.
Right? Don't spend 5 hours setting up your ring entrance and then just wrestle like everybody else. Right? Whoever you want to be in wrestling, always be that guy. Right? If you want to be a big, tough guy, you go to these big tough guy stories, and then like your legs slapping and back flipping and shit like that, you're not a tough guy, right? You're a flippy dude guy. Be a flippy dude guy, right? Everything has to make sense with itself, right? I talk like I'm a psychopath. I wrestle like I'm a psychopath. I act like a psychopath to my girlfriend. You know, I'm always like this. It's who I am. It's how I'm going to wrestle,
yeah.
Right? Like, all day I think about hurting people, because that's what's fun for me. So when I wrestle, it looks like I'm trying to hurt people. Right? When I talk about hurting people, it really sounds like I want to hurt people. Right? You can't be a tough guy, and then when the match starts, not be a tough guy. You can't be the dancey, I have all the ladies, I have the fur coat, and then just come in and wrestle like everybody else. You have to always be that character.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what's going to make people believe you. Right? And then that character is your advantage. Like, I had this talk with Ice Williams. Right? He asked me like what I thought the other day.
Yeah.
Which is never a good idea. But with him, like, when we did that ladder match, he had that super long entrance, and he did all the dancing and stuff like that, and I told him, just always be ice, no matter what. No matter what happens in the match, always be ice.
Yep.
Like, Ric Flair was a tough guy. He knew he could take a beating. Right? So if you look at it just sport-wise, you forget it's sports entertainment. You look at it just sports-wise, right? Mm-hmm. He's not super athletic, right? He's not bigger than most of his opponents were. He's not stronger. Like, but what was he always? He's going to be smarter.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd take a beating, and then he'd use the Ric Flair shit to take you out of your game, and that's where he took his advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So the ice character has to be the character that he's not going to be bigger and stronger than most guys. You know, he's not going to outflip some guys, but what he's going to do is he's going to use the ice, and he's going to take the other guy out of his game plan, being ice, and that's where he takes advantage. So, like, that kind of storytelling is the thing I learned that I think is the most important. But that's what really has to translate. You always got to be that character. There's a reason you're that character in promos. There's a reason your ring attire is the way it is. Right? And it's all to win matches in some way. That's how the story has to be told.
Definitely, definitely. All right, man. So,
and that Facebook post, I guess, is deleted now.
What's that? Oh, the Facebook post?
The Facebook post. Yeah, it just got deleted.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah, because we're...
Alex went to post a picture. Alex went to post a picture of me taking care of him, and he deleted it.
Yeah, because we're looking and we're going, is it...
Hold on, I have screenshots.
Nice.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me show you. There we go.
You should post it and tag it.
Oh, no. No, just go. Here we go. There we go. Whoop. There we go.
That's funny.
Matt, I'm sending it to you right now.
Awesome.
All right, man. So what we're going to do next, Joe, is we're going to do some word association. So I'm just going to throw out some names of either promotions or other guys in the business. And I just want you to tell me the first thing that comes to mind when I say these. And we're going to do this for 70 seconds. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. Let's get it going.
Sin City Steve, 70 deadly seconds starts now.
Future stars of wrestling.
The only place in Vegas to watch wrestling.
True. Hammerstone.
The next indie star. Absolutely.
Gabriel Gallo.
Should have retired 3 years
ago. Timothy Thatcher.
Best technical wrestler of the last 10 years.
Jeff Cobb.
My favorite independent wrestler of all time.
Lance Hoyt.
My favorite guy to have to sit in the back with and talk over a match.
That's awesome. Arizona Wrestling Federation.
Next.
Reno Scum.
Good wrestlers, bad heels.
Stefan Bonner.
DUI, yes.
Billy Gunn.
Jacked old man.
Awesome, man. Thank you for that. And next.
So this is the part of the show where we give you an opportunity to be able to share with us Vegas Bad Boys, along with the listeners, of a time that you have experienced some type of situation, whether it was in the ring, outside of the ring, it didn't matter where it was at, to where you were just left saying nothing but, oh, shit.
Oh, man. You guys prepared me for this question, but I don't really have a good answer for you. Because most things in wrestling make you go, oh, shit, but it's usually a horrible thing. Hmm. Oh, man. Me and Alex went on like a three show road trip for Sim Bodhi and his freak show wrestling. Because we're barnstorming as Skeletor and He-Man, basically. And, you know, we're sleeping in a car, going to these different gyms to go work out. And, you know, a couple guys working out all the time, you know, bad words are said, and you know, words you shouldn't say anymore because it's 2019. Everybody's very sensitive. Yep. And it begins with an F. And, you know, has to do with, you know, it's 2019, we can't say the word. And so, and, you know, Alex just says the word all the time. He doesn't mean anything by it. It's not, doesn't have any kind of derogatory thing. He just said it. So we go to a gym in Palm Springs. Now, in Palm Springs, there's really one certain kind of demographic. And I had to have a talk with him in the back. I'm like, Alex, don't say the F word. Don't say it, because look around. There's 1,000 of them, and there's only you, because I'm not helping. And then, you know, Alex goes to shower when we're done, and a guy comes up to me, and he starts talking to me about how nice his beard is. You know, I'm having a whole conversation with him. You know, I was like, you know, we've been sleeping in the car like 3 days now. Oh, yeah, maybe this guy has like a nice house. Let's go keep talking to him, keep having this conversation. Maybe he'll, you know, put us up for the night. I don't know what we have to do for it, but let's put him on. Let's go. Let's go. So that was kind of an oh shit moment. But not really. I was okay with it.
That was the old.
Everything else is terrible because you say like there's you know transgender people in wrestling now and that's okay to beat up a woman. You know, there's everything is crazy now. So really, there's no more oh shit moments.
Everything's out the bag.
Everything's crazy now.
Yeah.
You know, men wrestle women, which is okay. Somehow Chris Bay is a good guy, but he fought a chick last month, and I'm the bad guy because I helped cheat to beat a guy that cheated to beat me. I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So why even get upset about it? There's no shit moments anymore. Society's taking it away from us.
True.
Wow.
I might have to come up with a new segment then.
Yeah. Well, back to the drawing board, son.
Back to the drawing board. Right.
Actually, what we did was we brought you on Graves so that we could actually end that oh shit segment.
I am a spot killer.
Spot killer, exactly.
You definitely have killed my spot.
You got to see when guys try to run these spots with me and they say like these 14 moves they're going to do and I just stare at them. Frankly, stare at them and like, but anything you want to do, we could do. Yeah, we're going to do this my way because I'm not going to remember any of that.
Hey, Joe, we're getting ready to end the show now, but tell us what your social media contact so we can keep up with you.
Well, you can't contact me on Facebook anymore.
Yeah, Mark,
that is true.
But if you make vague posts about me, I'll find out. So that'll help.
Oh, okay. Let me start now.
Did you get my text message?
Yeah.
Did you get the message, Matt?
Yeah. Okay. And everyone now, on this side, everyone knows. Yep. I got you.
What do you mean on this side?
He was underneath me like a little boy. It's okay, man. Post on Facebook, you whoop my ass. Come whoop my ass.
You heard it first.
Come whoop my ass. Come do it. Do it. I wish somebody would pull my card. No, I have not much going on. Come do it.
All right.
And you can go to Instagram at @Graves_hateyou. Is this the first podcast you've done with somebody that literally hates wrestling?
Not quite yet, but this is a very good premise for more to come. We're trying to get CM Punk on the show, so we figured we'd start with you since he hates wrestling so fucking bad.
He hates wrestling on like a macro level. I hate every little fucking thing about it. I'm like, I only go to shows because I need 12 hours away from my girlfriend every so often. Just kidding, sweetheart. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. It's a joke. It's a joke.
That's your next match.
Yeah.
That's your next match.
No, it's not.
Joe.
Yeah, we drove down to Tucson yesterday and she won a powerlifting meet.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Joe Graves, you, man, you said it all, man, and we appreciate it for hanging out with us today.
No, thanks for having me, folks.
Thank no you, doubt. Brother. Everyone, Joe Graves. You are a star, my friend.
What's up, y'all? This is Sin City Steve. Just urging you to join us, the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, as we are going to be at ROH, Death Before Dishonor, on September the 27th, live from Sam's Town here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Bell time is 6 p.m., and the very next night, September the 28th, there will be a live international TV taping. Again, September 27th and 28th, live at Sam's Town. Come check out Ring of Honor.
This is DJ Impact with the Vegas Bad Boys. WWE SmackDown Live is coming to Las Vegas, Nevada, Friday, October 11th at 4:45 p.m., located at the T-Mobile Arena. Come watch your favorite superstars, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, Charlotte Flair, Randy Orton, your SmackDown Women Champion, Bayley, and your WWE Champion, Kofi Kingston. Buy tickets at Access.com. Great seats available for a low price. So come hang with WWE Friday, October 11th. And of course, your Vegas Bad Boys will be in the building.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.